Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. I am doing here, this is a critique of Eckhart Tolle's work. And the reason I want to say it that way is because I don't want anyone to confuse his work with this. Whenever you play with words like I have here, the power of now, it's the only risk that you run is you don't want to confuse people into thinking, hey, I'm Eckhart Tolle. I'm not. The Power of How is a play on his book, The Power of Now. And I have to credit, I don't know if Dan came up with The Power of How or me, because when we developed emotional repression inquiry, we saw the limitations of teachings like Eckhart's and, well, my own teaching. I was a teacher just like Eckhart. Not just like him, but very similar in the sense of pointing to present moment awareness and saying that present moment awareness is the portal to spiritual enlightenment, which is basically what he says in his book. In fact, I think it's on the cover. It says, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment. I believe it's been a few years. Well, I'm going to critique his work. I'm going to tell you the things that I agree and disagree with it. And the reason I'm doing that is because he's so popular. There are a lot of teachers out there whose teaching contains a bypass, but I don't mention it because they don't have the kind of influence that Eckhart has. And as I do this, I want you to hear it. Oh, you can hear it however you want. Because honestly, I don't have that in me that needs people to like me. That's something that I need to share with you. In other words, if people listen to this and they go, I don't like him because I really like Eckhart and he just, it doesn't matter, because this message still needs to be heard. Even if people disagree, I think you'll understand once I'm done. But what I really want you to see is, and this is what people don't understand about me, but I don't have any energy trying to correct them when they project it onto me, is people think that my criticism of other teachers comes from like anger or jealousy. Not everybody, just a few think this. Anger or jealousy. No, you don't understand. First of all, jealousy is something I haven't experienced in years. And no, not jealousy for teachers. What you have to understand, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful, frankly. I don't even know if I could have done it. If I would have gotten popular, really popular as a teacher, I would have had to shift the entire thing towards repression inquiry. After about 10 years, think about that. There was a reason that my work didn't get really popular when the bypass was in it. I mean, a reason for me that is I'm very grateful for. Because when I discovered the bypass in non-duality, the following that I had on Facebook was like 100,000 or 100,000 total on social media. Compare that with someone like Eckhart who has, you know, millions of people he's reaching. Well, but the difference is with me as a teacher, I shifted everything, as I said, because I discovered that the way that I was teaching contained an inherent bypass. And I'll say this, the way that Eckhart teaches contains an inherent bypass. But you're probably not going to see Eckhart change his teaching, nor do I think he should, now, after being here out in the scene and having so many people follow him for so many years. One of the things, let me talk about the good things about Eckhart real quick, to be fair in the critique. Eckhart was very important for me, as were a few teachers like that who simplified the present moment awareness pointing. For me, Eckhart made being here now accessible with simple language pointing to it. He's one of the, in my view, simplest and clearest teachers. I think he gets a lot of criticism, and I think a lot of it isn't warranted. I don't think it's the right criticism. I think that people are actually, see, I think people are, some people are jealous of Eckhart. I think about teachers who teach in the vein of Eckhart or who came along and maybe they believe they're clearer than Eckhart. There's a whole group of teachers that came out after Eckhart who didn't like him. Because, well, I could never find out why they didn't like him. They would say he's not clear because they would talk about awareness. And he would talk about kind of present moment or presence. And he wouldn't like pinpoint how everything comes and goes to awareness. You keep it that simple. Sometimes Eckhart goes off on these tangents, which are, I find, to be helpful. But some people don't like that because they're kind of, no, it should be this way, like direct pointing to presence, and that's all, over and over, relentless. That's the answer. And Eckhart does that. He just doesn't do it in a kind of radical neo-Advaita way. And so, you know, people, really, there was this, I don't know if people know this, but it's like AI. In spirituality, there was this burst of development and teaching that became simplified in like the 80s, 90s, and then especially the early 2000s. In the early 2000s, there was this big movement, and I was a part of it because I started teaching in 2007, towards like clear, radical, direct pointing. I don't know how else to say it, because it comes from that kind of like energy. It can, like, almost like a dogma. It became that, as people were like, screw Eckhart, we need to be clearer. We need to point more directly to how there's no self here and everything comes and goes to no one, or everything arises to no one. Now, I don't know if you follow Eckhart or these neo-Advaita type teachers, but some of that language may not make sense to you. But essentially, they were critiquing Eckhart because it was kind of like his presence was a soft presence pointing to them, where it needed to be radical and direct and relentless. So that was the criticism. And then Neo-Advaita, which was this sort of hyper, I don't know, what do you call Neo-Advaita? A very radical, so-called radical branch of non-duality was created and started to thrive in the early 2000s. And all these fingers got pointed over to Eckhart and Adi Ashanti and a lot of criticism. Well, I didn't join any of it because I was an anger repressor. As a teacher, when I came on board, I'm like, oh, you guys are all fighting. And, you know, enlightenment is about peace. And what are you all fighting around? That was my own trip. And I apologize for that because people need to argue. Disagreements need to happen. Yeah, sorry, even if you don't agree, Eckhart. I'll get to that. But I was not in the business of like coming onto the scene as a teacher and rocking any boats, really. I came on and like, okay, so you guys, the Neo-Advaita over here, you're pretty radical. I like what you have to say, but there's some issues with that. Eckhart, I like what you have to say. I just like everybody. You know, I just want everybody to get along. Why can't people get along? And I could not contribute to the conversation from anger repression in terms of really what's the right approach to teaching, because I was just doing what Eckhart was doing. And then I started to do a little bit of what the Neo-Advaita teachers do, because you see, everybody's doing what everybody's doing. It's being passed on from generations and generations of how to point, how to look, how to be, how to all this. And it's just like, it's a technology that we're thrust into, a way of meditating, looking, seeing, being, watching, witnessing. And it really doesn't matter who indoctrinates you, because it's all the same. I mean, when I look at Eckhart and I see Neo-Advaita, I see that as essentially the same. It's the same as what I was doing. In other words, I don't like jump into the group of non-duality teachers and then argue that some non-duality is good and some is bad. It's all a bypass, including everything I was doing as a teacher and the 7 books I wrote. Do I recommend those 7 books? Not any more than I would recommend Eckhart's book. So if you go buy Eckhart's book, I suggest that you would buy my book because I actually think it's clearer on and some issues, and then his is clearer on a couple of issues that I want to talk about. But here, the reason that I don't endorse his books or mine, unless that's all just a start for you, if you think of it like an intro to awakening, Scott Killaby's books or Eckhart Tolle's books, then you're okay. But it's only a beginning. And this is why I'm trying to change the conversation around awakening. And I know I'm just one teacher, but hear me out here. We can't just be here now, Eckhart. We can't. And you know what? Just so you know, not that it matters, because I don't really care what you think about me. But I have no energy on this. So like if Eckhart was here, I'd be like, well, can we just go to dinner or something? Because I want to talk to you. I have so many things I want to talk to you about. And then along the way, I would say, by the way, I totally disagree, just so you know, about this way of pointing, because too many people have emotional repression. And Eckhart, your work is a massive bypass. Will you pass the rolls, please? Because I love him. I think I almost had a crush on him in a way. I'm gay and I'm not attracted to him physically, but his energy and his laugh is infectious to me. His laugh is infectious. And I had a promoter once who was also Eckhart's promoter. Promoter meaning somebody who was going to publish my addiction book. And they were also the promoter at that time who would send Eckhart through the States to do shows or what do you call them? Retreats? Satsang? The person who did that was also the person who was going to publish my book. And he said, you know that Eckhart loves to tell stories. Yeah. When I have dinner with him, he'll just sit and tell stories. And I thought, that's probably different than the image that people think of him as just like being there and kind of just being and not having much to say. Apparently, it's not like that. Anyway, back to the criticism or the critique. We can't just be here now. And although I appreciate those moments, those times that I cherished by sitting with Eckhart, because when you sit with Eckhart, because he focuses so much on presence, and frankly, I think he's fully embodied or as close as anyone who's living, because I recognize embodiment in people, and I certainly recognize when it's not there. And when I see and feel him, I feel that. But I think what happened for him, but I don't know, I want to ask him at dinner, is I think that he had a sudden experience, a shift. I don't think that he knows what happened with any trauma or what I think might have been sadness and hurt repression for him. The more that I go and listen to Eckhart, the more that I think that he was a sadness and hurt repressor in his ego days. And I don't think that his realization gave him, he wasn't reading about trauma, just like I wasn't. When he had his awakening, he wasn't reading about buried emotions. He had a very deep shift to presence. And although I can't get in his body and see, I think that there was a very deep realization there. This is why he's become so popular. See, this is where I disagree with the other criticism. I don't feel that jealousy because of his popularity. I think that he's been a godsend for other teachers. He paved the way for people like me. And so for me to turn around and say, well, it's your popularity or no, it's not that. You helped a lot of people, Eckhart. You helped me tremendously. But there was a big, big issue with your teaching. And I'm going to get to that. But let me talk about, because see, people are misunderstanding me as I do this. And they think, well, Scott thinks that we shouldn't sit with Eckhart or engage in awareness practice or pointing. And that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying do that, but supplement that with repression inquiry, which I'll explain in a little bit. I think that the presence recognition is foundational. No matter where you are or who you are, in any walk of life or culture or religion or teaching. It doesn't matter. It's universal. So when Eckhart talks about presence, he's talking about something universal within all of us. Same thing that I'm talking about now. This awareness that we are is already here. It's in everyone. It is everyone. It's not in everyone. It's all that there is consciousness, presence. So when he points very directly to that, that's helpful on one sense because presence is already here and we are that already. Just like any teaching that does that is helpful. And I think a lot of the way that he does it is very simple and direct and easy for people to follow along. The problem is, and here's where the critique comes, we can't just be here now. Eckhart, he even said that if he met Buddha today and Buddha disagreed with him, he would disagree with Buddha. He would say, no, Buddha, the portal to presence, no matter if you would disagree with me, is the portal to enlightenment, is present moment awareness. And I would walk up to him and say, Eckhart, no, the portal to awareness is present moment awareness. The portal to real freedom, like deep freedom that you talk about, is not that. You had a shift that is very, very rare. I've not met a human being in the 14,000 sessions that I did one-on-one. I didn't meet, and all the teacher interviews, I used to interview a lot of teachers. I never met another human being that I could sit with and say, that person has had a full, you know, embodied realization. And so you had something that's very rare if that is your experience. The problem with that is that by having such a rare experience, you can't relate to a lot of us who grew up with childhood trauma, but more importantly, adults who have buried emotions now, who are not going to have a sudden enlightenment that ends all of their suffering. I'm here to report to you guys, which is from an unscientific way, working with people all over the world, 14,000 sessions, just there isn't another Eckhart. And even if you look at other teachers, I don't feel them the same way. He experienced something, but he's not able to articulate it because it happened suddenly for him. And you can hear him. He doesn't talk a lot about like post-awakening, a little bit, refinement, because I don't think he needed to do much. But the rest of us have work to do, and our experience is not like Eckhart's. And so what I've learned through the years is that even though you've got Eckhart there and other people, other teachers, most people do not end suffering. And that's just a bottom line. Most people don't end suffering. It doesn't matter how many times they sit with Eckhart or recognize what he's pointing to. They could have a shift like that he's had, a shift of presence. That's what I had. But you can't end suffering by just pointing or being present for one simple reason, which is buried emotions, which create the suffering, don't arise to awareness. Now, he talks about that, Eckhart does. He talks about it, but he doesn't call it repression. He calls it a pain body. And then he says, what does he say? Let it be. See it as just the sensation and presence. That's where I 100% disagree. That's actually dangerous. That's where I disagree with all the teachers. When they get down to the sense of separation in the body, what they start doing is what they did with all the other phenomena. They pointed to everyone just to let thoughts come and go, see them as coming and going. They point that emotions come and go, states come and go, experiences come and go. But people's experience is that contraction does not come and go. That's your experience. Trust it. So when we teachers tell you things that don't match your experience, question us. Because when he says, just be with that pain body, you can't. You can, but you can't in the way that it sounds like you can when he's saying that. Because inside the pain body is the trauma and emotional repression. And it's conditioning. And it's hidden. And so it just feels like a sensation. Or a pain body from presence, it just feels like a sensation, but it's not. It contains hidden programming, frozen fear of whatever emotions that you've buried. But the real problem is that by telling people just to rest and allow the pain body, he subtly programmed me. I programmed myself, and other people are being programmed by the millions to sit and be. And by being, and they are automatically avoiding buried emotions, and they're being programmed into it because there's nothing that he's saying that would even make them explore or make them want to explore what's inside that pain body because of the way he talks about it. He talks about the pain body as if it's like everything else. And that's where it gets funky because, no, the sensations of pain body are not like other things. That's our trauma. That's not the same as a story coming up. Eckhart, you know, we can't just say to people, be with that story. Now be with that story. And now be with this pain body. Because the pain body creates those stories. The pain body creates the depression. The pain body creates the anxiety. It creates the chronic pain. It creates all the shadows. It creates our suffering because the pain body contains the repressed emotions. And even by calling it a pain body, it is distracting, and then it programs us because we start, now that came into the public domain. Even at the same time that the science started studying that pain body is actually emotional repression creating our suffering, then on a very wide scale, people started calling what they were experiencing in their body a pain body. And many people were not doing the research to see what was in that pain body. And I wasn't either, because I had been indoctrinated into this by non-dual teachers and my own teaching, calling things something different than what they are and what they really are so that we stay safe from buried emotions. I don't think that that's Eckhart's intention. Eckhart could still have repression, and that would explain why he doesn't give a pathway to the unconscious repression. But I don't think that's what it is with him. I could be wrong. I think he just had a sudden realization and he doesn't have any way of knowing how repression played into it. But he has a very deep understanding because he says that suffering can go away. And I'll talk about that in a second. That tells me that he's had a full realization if suffering has gone away, because I experienced that. So it's interesting where he can share about a full realization, but he will not and cannot provide any information about the root of suffering, because the way he talks about it, everything that we need to know about the root of suffering is hidden in his concept of pain body. And then it becomes public domain, so people think that that's really a pain body. See? No. I mean, you could call it that. That's emotional repression driving our suffering. So I needed to get away from teachers like Eckhart, see, and teachers like Scott Killaby to go explore in science what is this pain body? Because my pain body ended up being spinal stenosis because I just treated it like a pain body, like a sensation. I just rested and allowed it. I just let it be exactly as he instructed and as I used to instruct. And that was the problem right there. Because again, we're not just being here now, even though he says we are or he's pointing to it. We have very hidden conditioning in this pain body that is feeling very unsafe to be here now. And even if we recognize presence, that conditioning will make sure that we don't live and embody that. Because that buried emotion is the one that we don't and can't express in relationship. So again, if we wake up to presence, this buried emotion is not likely to come into awareness at all. And it's going to stay there creating suffering as soon as we get out of Eckhart's presence. Okay, so here's what I mean. If you just go to teachers like Eckhart for the present moment awareness pointing, and you don't get to the root of suffering, you run the risk of needing to go back to teachers like that. But for what reason? You know, it's partly to get the wisdom and the pointing back to present, but it's also you don't trust yourself. You have to keep coming back. Why don't you trust yourself? Because we teachers don't point to the repression that keeps you from trusting yourself. See, we leave you in a repressed state. And with repression, you can't trust your body. And so you keep coming back to us. And because you have buried emotions, you need to regulate those emotions. And guess what we do very well when we point to presence? We help you regulate the suffering that's being created by that pain body that we're not helping you with. See, we're enabling it, and he is too. And that's my criticism, because I don't think he understands the impact of leading millions of people into an unembodied realization where childhood trauma is ignored and then relabeled as a pain body so that we're distracted from it with that spiritual language. Because that doesn't match the science at all to call it a pain body. Eckhart admits to being influenced by, what is it, David Hawkins, the teacher, who was really clear about allowing it all. Just if an emotion comes, let it be. Thoughts come, see them, let them be. And Eckhart picked that up. That's what we teachers do, is we pick up the pointers from our teachers. Sometimes we don't give credit, but these pointings are part of a lineage. Even if you see a teacher who's not part of a lineage, they had a teacher, and they tend to use the same pointers. We don't always know what happened to us when we awaken. We just kind of pick up the technology that our teacher used with us that helped us have that shift. But we don't always have the insight as to what happened using those pointers, what actually happened. Well, I had to go reverse engineer for myself what actually happened, because my awakening led to disease because I missed buried anger, and then suicidal ideation. And when I was at the end of my rope, I started to just naturally inquire into non-duality with people like Eckhart and my own teaching, and it all just fell away. Now, you might say, well, isn't that the point of non-duality, that it all falls away? No, not until non-duality falls away, because it's part of the problem. All this languaging around presence keeps us distracted from our buried emotions. So this is, even though I really have a lot of good things to say about Eckhart, this is not a good thing, Eckhart. And, you know, a lot of people don't hold your feet to the fire on this, but they need to, because this is our life. These are our lives. This is our health, you know, and Eckhart's not responsible for our lives or our health. But when somebody steps up into the role of teacher and especially purports to have the way to enlightenment, you know, that when people who have trauma are likely to trust that, especially if there's truth in it. And there is, but there's also a bypass in the be here now culture. Massive bypass, because adults who are being here now are point blank avoiding buried emotions that don't arise. So the more that people like Eckhart get popular and other people come up behind him, the more we're now going to have, like, it's almost like a belief system that is taken over to keep us safe, but it's disguised as truth. And there's no pathway to embodiment. And that's my biggest critique of Eckhart is, I'll talk to you in a moment about how he gets it. Like, he shares about it in A New Earth, what embodiment really is. But then when it comes to a pathway, he just keeps saying, be here now. And these buried emotions in the pain body are not going to arise to be integrated. And then he comes to people and he says, but you have to be interested in the end of suffering. You can't just sit there and witness suffering coming and going. I'm like, Eckhart, you taught them that. You taught them that. And now you're saying that you can't just sit there and witness suffering forever, that it has to end. Well, then how? And then when people ask him how, he doesn't really answer it, because he doesn't know. Because it all happened to him, I think, pretty suddenly, and he wasn't able to reverse engineer it. So he does what his teacher did, is point to presence and letting it all be. David Hawkins, I think his name is David, would point mainly to emotion, which I think is good. If emotion comes up, let that be. But the people came after him, like Eckhart and Julian, and I forgot his name. There are a lot of teachers, though, who followed Eckhart and started to say what he said about the pain body, or they would just call it a contraction or a sensation, and they would say what he said, just like Hawkins said, let that sensation just be as it is in presence. In fact, feel into it and just completely allow it in presence. It sounds good, but it doesn't work. And you have a lot of people now just sitting in their house or on their meditation mat, feeling this pain body and just allowing it, thinking that they're allowing it. But then the programming inside the pain body is like holding on for dear life to buried anger or hurt. And there's a lot of fear in that sensation. But the more we just rest with it and allow it in presence, the more we remain completely unconscious to that conditioning. So we don't even know that that pain body is really repression if we just keep resting with it, because that conditioning doesn't come into awareness. And over time, that becomes being programmed into being avoidant of whatever's in there and not even knowing we're being avoidant, because we're just sitting there resting with a sensation, so that doesn't look necessarily avoidant. But it is, only because the conditioning that creates the sensation is being avoided, and the emotions that are buried that creates that sensation are unconscious. So you can, if you start to hear it after a while, you realize, well, that's the problem right there. What he says about the pain body, frankly, what all of us teachers say about the sense of separation in the body needs to be upgraded to match the science. But he never did. And I don't know why he didn't. I don't think he thinks he needs to. I don't know. I've never talked to him. I think he thinks he has a complete teaching, because he has a new earth, which at the end of a new earth, he talks about the three frequencies of being, which I completely align with, because that's the embodiment process. So he says the first frequency is acceptance. And in my view, that's what he was trying to help people with. He taught people how to be present and accepting of what arises in all of his books. And yet he says in the end of A New Earth that that's just the first frequency of being. He says, and it's true, there are deeper frequencies of being. Embodiment, he calls it inspiration. And then the deepest level of freedom he calls enthusiasm, or in God. That's a man who's experienced that, to even be able to write that, because it's true. It's really true. But then he doesn't provide a pathway. So you have a lot of people who are stuck in the first frequency of being that he teaches. So the first frequency is presence, and then things come and go to presence, but they can be allowed. The suffering can be allowed when presence is recognized. But that's just the first frequency, even in his words. And then, so the question, he writes so eloquently about the second and third frequency, about inspiration and then enthusiasm, but he provides no pathway. And it's almost like you can sit there and then just accept things coming and going, be with what is, and somehow get to the inspiration and enthusiasm. But you can't get to embodiment by just being here now and doing nothing else, because the body keeps the score. Inside that pain body is all the conditioning that creates suffering. You see the setup? That we're recognizing presence, but we're not getting to the root of suffering, because of teachings like his that they get us interested in deeper states of realization, but there's no pathway to it. So we're all, many of us are just stuck with this sense of separation in the body. We can't really do anything about it. And then the teachers just don't do a good job with that, even though that's the core of our suffering. Think about that. Our operating system is right there in the body where we feel the most sense of separation. And yet what do we say, including Eckhart? Just let that be. Even though that's our most unconscious conditioning, we're just going to let a sensation that's hiding conditioning just be. That's the problem. And it's just a small thing It sounds like in the overall thing, it has to do just with sensations, but it's everything, because that sensation contains the root of suffering. So if we don't ever get inside that sensation and bring the repression into awareness, we can expect more suffering. And we can definitely expect not to experience inspiration and enthusiasm when there's more suffering, because when suffering comes up, we have to accept it from presence. That's the state that he teaches. If suffering arises, let it be, watch it. Well, that's where people get stuck. They get stuck in that first frequency because it's unsafe to their system to go deeper, because if they were to go into the body deeper, that's the fear that they've always been afraid of. So we have to give specific instructions for people who are afraid, who we've rendered them into a state of fear by pointing to presence, but we don't give them the skill to discover why they're so afraid to embody that. And it could just be like an oversight. Like, it's not like he's diabolically trying to get everybody to wake up and then not be able to end suffering. It's just that the teaching is incomplete. The words aren't, because he goes to great detail to talk about embodiment, but the practices, there's no real power in the power of now when you have buried emotions. This is why I call it the power of how, because when you put a teaching like Eckhart's along with KI, you put them together, it's beautiful. But see, what KI is a missing link in his teaching. He might not agree, because he probably thinks his teaching is complete, but you have to look at all the people that follow his work. There's a lot of people, most people are still suffering with something, even if it's just a disease. Many people didn't even shift to presence, even though he pointed to it, they had too much trauma. Some people did shift to presence in his company or with his work, but they couldn't embody that because of the pain body problem. So you see, anywhere you look, he can't take people all the way. And he couldn't take me all the way. I stopped listening to Eckhart in 2000 and probably 7 when I woke up, but I stopped listening to all teachers, because once you wake up to presence, why would you need to be pointed to presence? I became interested in real freedom after that, because that wasn't real freedom. It might be for Eckhart because he's fully embodied, but for the rest of us, it's just, okay, awareness is here. Now I can really feel my fucking body, and it's not comfortable, and I don't know what to do with it, but the teachers are just saying, let it be here, and I just sat there as presence and let it be there, and it just got worse and worse over time, worse, until I was in the emergency room over and over and wanting to die. And that's where being here now can get you. But that story never gets told. It's happening, though, because you'll see not Eckhart, but other teachers getting sick who had repression. See, we see all the evidence of it. But do we put two and two together that far from ending suffering, most people, including most teachers, are continuing to suffer with this back pain or this. You know, you hear the stories. So we really do need something different. And all we need to do is take these great non-dual traditions and teachers and supplement them with an education around trauma and how it's emotional repression and trauma that drive our suffering, and not something like called the pain body or even the sense of separation. Way too vague. It's distracting from the actual conditioning that creates suffering in the pain body. So it's just changing language, getting rid of old language and teachings that mislead people into thinking they can just be here now and experience lived and embodied freedom, and adding repression inquiry into your non-dual path. It doesn't matter whether it's Eckhart or Rupert or anyone. Most of these teachers do not get to repression. Now, I'll just leave you with this. You don't have to believe me. I'm not like trying to be the teacher that trumps all teachers on this issue. I'm just a voice that's trying to get you to pay attention to something. Because if you hang around these teachers long enough, including if you have the ability to talk to them about that pain body, you will learn that the answers are insufficient. They will keep telling you to let that be in presence, and you'll sit there with it. And you might get some relief, but the contraction itself won't go away. And that'll be frustrating, but you might not be able to express it if it's buried anger. So you're going to sit there with buried emotions, and inside that contraction, resting with it for potentially years and asking questions to these teachers about what to do with it. And they're going to generally say the same thing, and you're going to avoid a buried emotions. But some of you will go to other teachers who are more somatic based. I'm going to do another podcast on that, because I became one of those teachers too, thinking that the pain body wasn't being reached. I started poking around in the pain body and spent about 7 years bypassing in that way until I eventually found the buried emotions in the pain body. And that's KI. So you can go that route. You know, like if you need to go and explore spirituality in all these different ways, like I did as I was developing work, some people need to do that. But KI is a direct path to embodiment, if you're ready. It's a particular method because it overcomes your default conditioning to stay safe from buried emotions, which is what drives us on a path. And so that's what drives us when we have this pain body, is the need to stay safe from what's in the pain body. But KI goes straight to the conditioning in the pain body and safely, remember, safely transmutes the pain body over time by getting to that conditioning that's hiding in that. And that's what you want. Even so, remember that that might scare you, but KI is safe and effective. It's both. We've made it that way because we realize we're working with buried emotions, and that scares people and creates resistance. But once you try it, you'll see. And once you do KI, you'll see a lot of other things. I'm just going to spend a couple of minutes here showing you or telling you about insights that you can see only by processing buried emotions and not by being here now. You can't see where your suffering is coming from when you're just being here now, because the emotions are buried in the pain body, and that conditioning that's producing the stories and the shadows that you see is totally hidden. So what you see is just the stories and the shadows and the things that Eckhart encourages you just to watch and allow. But you're watching and allowing conditioning that your system created for safety. So it's a self-perpetuating loop and can go nowhere to sit and create suffering and then just watch it. And create more and watch it. And then create more and more and more and watch it. Come on, Eckhart. That's not what you mean. And I know he doesn't mean that, but that's what people get when that's all we do and point that way. We just point that way. They get more suffering because we don't get to the pain body that creates it. What KI does is it says, deal with the pain body first, because the pain body is driving all your visible suffering that's coming and going into awareness. So when you process buried emotions first, you're in the business of getting suffering to go away at the beginning of the path, the right way, by getting to the root of it. Therefore, you don't have to do a lot of presence, pointing, and sitting. Some, of course, to help regulate and recognize the presence as you do this work. But what people don't understand is that once you start processing the buried emotions and your suffering goes away, you're not compelled to sit and be as awareness because it's already there. You are creating suffering from buried emotions when the suffering goes away. When the story's quiet, there's the presence. You don't need to be pointed to it. And I would even say that once you go deep into KI, if you try to go back to the presence pointing, a lot of it is just you trying to stay safe from the buried emotions. So what I'll say if I'm mentoring you is go back to it. You don't ever go back to it. It's always here now. And so you want to make sure that that's foundational in your life throughout the day, just like Eckhart says. Notice and allow what arises. Recognize that the presence is always here. But then bring KI inquiry into your life throughout the day so you can see how you're creating the suffering that's also always here, along with presence. Thank you, Eckhart Tolle, for being a really important teacher for me. I'm forever grateful for that. I'm sorry, Eckhart, you're leading millions of people into a massive bypass due to unresolved childhood trauma, for which we have only begun to see the impact. He runs the risk more than anyone of, down the road when we learn more science, he's going to be scrutinized. We all are. Trust me, it's coming, because we have AI. We have AI. We also have, which AI is so smart about these issues. I don't know if you've realized it, but I've been interfacing with AI-assisted research and chat on these issues. AI already gets it, and it's kind of waiting around because it has all human intelligence, and it pulls it all together and says, you guys are in a bypass in its own way. But we don't get it, we humans, because we're still needing safety from buried emotions. But hopefully now, with the era of AI and so much research on how buried emotions create suffering, that we can change the conversation around awakening to include the body first and end suffering first, instead of witnessing suffering forever from presence. If this is interesting to you, we're not going to do satsang like Eckhart. We're not going to sit in quiet presence, because that'll be avoidant of buried emotions. I want to show you how to work with buried emotions skillfully in a one-on-one setting. I've got a 90-day intensive program, which is my best offering for that. If you can't afford that, I've got a mentorship program that is more affordable, where you still get the one-on-one help. And if that's not your cup of tea, every month for a while, I'm doing the KI Jumpstarter group. And so that's just a group of people who want to learn the work in a group setting. And it's a one-month mentorship program where I mentor people into learning how to do this work and getting to the hidden conditioning in the pain body, basically. And both of those are discounted for the month of December for the holidays. So when you click on the link in the description there, you can go straight to the Jumpstart group and get the coupon at the top of the page, or just click on the link and come talk to me for free about the one-on-one programs. And the discount will still apply if you sign up in December. Thank you.